Attention, everybody! If I can have your undivided attention. We've met most. We'll go around the table, share a few things. But my name is Michael. Our association is thrilled that you're all here today, and thanks for coming. What we want to do is get the introductions out of the way, so after the meal, we'll have a forum. We'll have everybody given an opportunity to share their knowledge and their wisdom. Jerry's going to start it off. And one of the things we need is someone to volunteer to collect the money for lunch, because I'm going to be busy. Anybody here going to be till the end?
I'm going to buzz on a little bit. Okay. 15.
All right. We'll make it work somehow.
That's like Primo.
Yeah.
I vote for Primo.
If some of you weren't privy to the genesis of this meeting, you know, Jerry and Dennis Jones and a guy named Jason had a conversation about music programming. And I realized myself as a 30-plus year DJ that I didn't know a hell of a lot about it. So it was my idea to invite Jerry to do the presentation and create this forum so that we could learn more about a subject that I thought might be of interest to others. And so that's what's happening today. I wrote some notes here.
Thank you for doing it.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I've always been a seat of the pants kind of guy, but preparation can go a long way into doing a better job. So I think I've got a lot to learn still, being a gray-haired old guy. So
right behind you, brother.
One thing we have to do, we have some association business. I know Charlie has to leave early. George, what time do you have to leave?
Just right at the end.
Okay. So we might have to ask the guests to leave, and we'll conduct a vote after the forum's over.
You have mine, just to give it to...
Yeah, yeah. So I thought we'd go around. I'll start, and if you want to say anything about your business, you're welcome to. If not, you can be as brief or long-winded as you care to. But I thought another thing, in the spirit of music programming, we'd throw in a song that we're loving to play. It can be a cocktail, dinner, dance, it doesn't matter. A song that you put on that makes you feel good. And I'm not sure I should be embarrassed about this, but it's a country song that I played during cocktails, and it's Keith Urban's Somebody Like You. And when I play that song, I don't know, something about it just makes me feel good. I start bopping. So,
how's it go?
Yeah, that's yours.
Yeah. Somebody like you, I wanna be home.
Oh yeah, I know.
It's a love song. All right, let's go left here.
To the left.
Hi, Mike Ryan. Mike on the mic. I like the song. She thinks my tractor's sexy.
Yeah. You got us on a country vein.
That's all you're going to say?
That's almost.
George James. George James Entertains. Started in live music 15 years ago. I was a kid from Northern Illinois. Been here 13 years. Like to combine live vocals in my events. Some guitar work.
Yeah.
If you give me much time to think on that song thing, but I'm a country lover myself too, and I don't know. I can't. Actually, one of my favorite country songs right now is it's used a lot in first dances. Is Brad Paisley's "Then"? It's called "Then."
Yes.
Yeah. Pretty apropos for a wedding.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very
good. I'm Ron Wallace, DJ Raw Entertainment. Probably lately the song that I really enjoy, especially because of the way it sounds on a good sound system cranked at a nice volume is Jennifer Lopez is on the floor.
Oh yeah.
It just seems to have energy to it, and you know, the minute it comes on, everybody recognizes it, and you know, I find myself singing along to it in the car. So you know.
Yeah. Great.
Oh, Primo, you're on the floor.
Right, Primo DJs, and the song that I've been playing that's getting a lot of good vibes, almost like, you know, it's up there with Baby Got Back right now.
Whoa!
It's Starship.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Can you sing a little bit for us?
Starship's meant to fly. Kind of cool. Goes like that.
That was good.
Like, rhythm. But they do have a clean version. I got the clean version. Diane says she's got like a nasty version. I haven't heard that one, but it says
mine goes mother. It's, but they yell it out.
They it up a little so energy. It sounds like it, but it's not like
yeah. But he has one where he doesn't even say mother.
Oh. Okay.
So I'm like, I that's the one I need. Is that one?
The clean one.
Yeah.
Okay.
You done?
Yeah.
Again, my name is Barry Mantell. I'm an owner and operator of Knights of the Sound Table. Fortunate to be in business here locally since 1991. I do have a new partner. His name is Eric Cole, which we're very happy to have on board. And I had to pick two songs that I like to listen to, one song, I would pick between two of them. One would be probably Brandy by Looking Glass. And Do It Again by Still Again.
Good to have you. Hi, I'm Charlie, everybody. I think most of you Charlie Bradley, and I'm dressed this way because I'm doing a gig this afternoon as an MC train conductor. One of the things that I've enjoyed lately is discovering new venues and new ways to entertain. And one of them is as a walk-on MC. Another is, as you know, as a wedding minister, I also do weddings, and so conducting a wedding ceremony can be a lot of fun. Last night I did a kids' party at a beautiful new venue that I hadn't played before. It's called Mon Petit Chateau, My Little House. And it's a place for kids. It's reminiscent of Chuck E. Cheese, but it's not the schlop. It's just a really, really nice venue with a castle and a toy train. So I wore my toy train like it's full scale, you know, like 8 feet tall. And so I wore my my train costume last night and had a good time with that. And doing different kinds of things is what I'm into. I like to play all kinds of different events and do all kinds of different activities. Song I like, since I'm bilingual, I do a lot of quinceañeras. And just because we're sharing songs, I'll share a Latin song just to kind of round everything out. It's by la banda El Recodo, and it's called Y Llegaste Tú. Banda in Spanish is a full-on brass band, like up to 13, 14 pieces, tubas, horns, clarinets, drums, trap sets, the whole works, and it's really, really high energy. So if you need something for the Latin contingent, Y Llegaste Tú.
How do you spell that?
Yeah.
Y, double L, new word, okay, double L, E-G-A-S-T-E, Tú. And it means, came, then you got here, okay? And so it's kind of like, then you got here, it drags everybody to the dance floor. Y llegaste tú, todos bailamos juntos.
It's a floor filler.
It'll turn it out. If you've got a Latin contingent, it will bring them up. Tú.
Where's that venue?
Yeah, where is it?
Mon Petit Chateau is in Chula Vista, off Fenton, in the East Lake area.
Oh.
Mon Petit Chateau. They rent out for all kinds of occasions. I'm planning to book a wedding there, but it's meant for kids, okay? Everything is scaled down. The little castle is there. I've got pictures of it if you want. And of course, you can visit them online. But it's a sweet little venue, very clean. It has a coffee shop. It has a restaurant. It has an upstairs for meetings. So if you're doing anything in East Lake and you need a venue, you know, just a place to, like, have a meeting, something like that, could be very nice. Thank you. Andre is here.
My name is Andre. I came to United States 10 years ago. First came back to, I did Ukrainian weddings before that. Then in 2006, I believe I met Daniel, and he taught me a lot of things. I came back to doing weddings as a DJ, and mostly I do Russian-American weddings. Also most of my clients are Europeans, like French or like Germans, who likes European music, and I know it. And in my work, I use live keyboard, live singing as well, playing some drums, so like percussion. And
and you sing too.
Yeah, yeah, as far as music, I try to have always to have the mix of new and old songs. And every time a new song comes out, I'm trying to find all kinds of remixes and all kinds of versions to find the best I can use at the gig, and it really can make a difference how people react to the song.
That's all. Can you sing Starships?
No. In Russian. So, the only song you'd recommend would be a Russian song?
Well, I can't recommend any song. Okay. I mean, it's personal okay. preference.
I understand.
I'm Daniel Peterson. I'm a DJ here in San Diego. I've been DJing since 1990. So, doing clubs, I actually had some radio gigs, but now it's mainly doing weddings, mobile DJing with weddings. And recently I kind of like doing coming out of dinner, a little bit more beats to kind of get people warmed up a little bit. And I found a really cool version of I Got a Feeling over Neo's Closer. And it's kind of like for that, like it's got a kind of a laid back kind of house beat to it, and it's really nice for coming out of dinner. So.
Nice. Hi everyone, my name is DJ Charlie Walkridge. I run my own company called The Go Disco Entertainment. I really like playing 70s and 80s dancing music. That's my personal preference, and this kind of music is relevant at most of the gigs that I do. And I enjoy playing Casey and Sunshine Dance Bands. Get Down Tonight. That's what I like to play.
Right on.
Hi everyone, my name is Butch, guest of Jerry Beck. Jerry and I have known each other since the 90s. We DJed at a club together in La Jolla, and we kind of made us stars a little bit. And Jerry was doing mainly club, you know, club DJing, and he started doing private parties and things like that. And I'm the one that kind of told him. He asked me, you know, because I was already doing that as well. He asked me, well, Butch, how do I do this? And I'm the one that gave him some of the information that he used, actually, and it worked. And so, you know, that's kind of helped him, you know, do what he's been doing today.
And I've never been wearing a tux if he didn't tell me. I remember those days. So he's like, you're going out in jeans?
I play everything, you know, from one end of the spectrum to another. I mean, and, you know, the amount of music that's out there is just, if you don't know it, then how are you going to play it, you know? So, it's just keeping your ear to the ground, listening to whatever, you know, and whatever clients that you happen to come across, you know, whatever they want to hear is what you're going to play, right? You know? So, I've learned like country music, Latin music, you know, farm music, you know, even music from other countries, whatever it is, just to adapt, because a lot of parties you're going to DJ, you're just going to have a lot of different people, you know, different, you know, nationalities and everything, and everyone wants to hear different things, and trying to mix all those different things together and try to please everyone is almost,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's rough. You can't do it. You know, you're talking about you can please some of the people some of the time, but not all the people all the time. Yeah, that's how it is when you're DJing, it seems like. But song-wise, two songs that I always enjoyed are I like reggae, you know, and so one of them is Bob Marley, Could You Be Loved, Swingin'. And then a Latin song, I like Latin as well, is Elvis Crespo, Suavemente. You play Suavemente. Boom.
Those are out there. Try backing La Vida Es Un Carnaval with Suavemente.
Yeah.
You warm them up on Carnaval, and they were
Yeah, exactly.
Those two
exactly.
Are like the main ones I use, too.
Yeah. So.
Great
mix.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jerry.
Hello, Jerry.
How's it going?
Yeah.
So, I'm owner operator of Vex Entertainment, and happy to be here.
Yeah.
I'm Spencer Beasy, Mobile Music Plus, DJ, Super Rap, Nova, Dango. Did radio for about 13 years here in San Diego, doing mostly mobile and private stuff now.
Tell us your name again.
Spencer Beasy.
Spencer Beasy.
I don't really have a specific favorite song. I'm kind of just digging the whole like OTA Black Keys vibe.
Oh, yeah.
Right now.
You didn't give us a song, Jerry.
Yeah, Jerry.
Jerry, you didn't give us a song.
Oh, a song?
Yeah, Jerry, your track.
Two songs. Well, you know what? I'll give you two songs.
Give us two
songs. I
like
Ass by Stevie Wonder.
Yeah?
Y'all don't probably know that.
Uh-huh.
I like it. And another one that I like is Girl Like You by Donovan Frankenreiter. It's probably, you all don't probably know that either, but I like that.
That's so, pretty interesting.
Yeah. B-sides.
That's a cool track.
Yeah.
It's a cool track to play. It's one of those tracks that play it, people don't know it, they like it.
Girl Like You,
and so much
who does it, Frankenreiter?
So much.
Donovan Frankenreiter.
He's playing for free next weekend.
Oh, really?
Street festival in Solana Beach.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, yeah. On the weekend?
I think a Sunday. Sunday night, evening. Not
maybe
too late.
To see
I'll email
26th
you.
26th or 27th or something?
Cool. 27th. Oh, no, I'm thinking it's in a couple. It's June 3rd.
So there you go. Ask Stevie Wonder. And Girl Like
Me. Stevie thinks Stevie. Think Stevie, so.
Yeah.
Are you saying ASS or A?
Huh?
Oh, ass. Jerry's favorite, I think, is Stevie.
Oh, Stevie Wonder anyway, yeah.
What? He wants
to. Is it your favorite, Stevie Wonder?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Did I say that?
You said that once,
yeah. Yeah. Stevie.
As. It's not even a B-side.
All right,
side.
We reconvene to finish the circle.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
So, I'm Wayne Thayer, owner-operator of Dance Party Productions. I've been in San Diego relatively short time. Launched my business full-time here in San Diego January 1. I only moved here about 3 years ago. I come out of Florida. I was Universal Studios and at Disney in Orlando. So, you know, everything from, you know, typical DJ stuff. But I also now have opened up dealer distribution network. So I'm a dealer distributor for Mackie, Rain, Gemini, QSC, EAW, anything. So if any of you ever buy gear or equipment, call me first.
Pass your card this way, please.
I will.
Yeah, pass the stack, Dan. We've met you before, haven't we? We've met you before, haven't we, when you did a presentation? Yeah.
Well, I haven't done a presentation.
You do lighting and everything?
I do. American Lighting, Jim. American Lighting. Uplighting, I do the whole thing. So okay. Everything from Iranian to American Audio. Oh,
yeah.
So. Probably, you know, do I play it a lot at an event? No, but is it a song that I really, really enjoy listening
to
on my own? Go Your Own Way by Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, yeah.
Gets you every time. Gets you every time.
Clinton
guy.
Hell no. Hell no.
You're next. You're right in the fire.
Your name is Wayne or
But yeah, anything by Fleetwood Mac makes it to the top of the
list. Oh, I dropped right here.
Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was busy hugging those cards.
Everybody wants a piece of QSC.
We.
Yeah. So.
Party Pam is here and it's her turn to say hi.
Wait, Party Pam. PartyPam.com. Better late than never, hopefully.
Always good to have you, Pam.
My favorite song to play right now. There's so many. I'm still a little behind the times, but Moves Like Jagger still works.
Yeah.
Oh.
It still works.
Yeah. No doubt.
It's a little old, but it, you know.
Old.
People still like it.
But you know
what?
As old as me.
You know what I find? Like when you do weddings, it seems like you have to play songs that are a little bit older. If they're too new, they haven't heard it yet because there's older people there. So.
I always hold off on the really new
not
stuff.
Not Primo,
unless
Starship.
A lot of young people, I hold off on the newer stuff until the latter half of the reception. Because if the first thing you play is something brand new, everybody over 40 goes, oh, time to go.
Yeah. Diane Desiderio, president of the San Diego DJ Association.
Yeah.
And owner of Primo DJs, and Primo, that's my
owner
husband
of Primo
over there.
As well.
Primo production.
And my favorite song right now, well, I've been doing, like, I did a bar mitzvah, I did a fifth grade graduation, I did a prom. I'm doing all these kids things lately, like a bunch of them, which I usually do more weddings. So my favorite thing has been the dance-off, and Primo made me this really cool mix where it has a scratch in it, and it does Soldier Boy, and then a scratch mix, and then it goes into, you know, Lean Like a Cholo, and just all these, like, songs in it. You know, they got to dance, do the dance-off, and then, you know, they win a prize. But that's been my big hit right now, is the dance-off.
When do you do that?
I just throw it out there. Or we're gonna do the dance off competition,
okay.
And then
just
I tell them I'm gonna do the scratch sound, and then you know, whoever interprets it best. But it's great because they all know these songs and they get all into it and they interpret, you know, the best they can. Not everyone knows like the Cupid Shuffle,
right.
Or yeah, you know, but the ones that do. You know, they score the points, so it kind of works like that. Like, who knows the dance moves?
Do you use do you do the judging, or do you use people from the audience to judge?
Well, because there's like teachers there, and so it's not like they're just kids and me. I'm the one running the whole thing.
Okay. So you pick the winner.
Yeah, I pick the winner. Uh-huh. I go out there and I watch them. They're like trying to impress their best, you know.
Yeah. And you get the booze too when you.
No, I never get the booze. They pretty much just.
They agree with you.
Yeah, they agree with me.
As it should be.
Well, one more thing I forgot to mention is, you know, Diane is our president and she's doing a great job, but I just thought of ways to try to involve the membership more in the idea creation for our meetings. And so today is actually the first meeting where we're having sign-ups for someone who wants to say, okay, I'll lead this meeting, I'll find a topic, and I'll pick the location, and see what happens. And so far, I'm the only one, and Jerry with me, we're a tag team today, who have signed up, but we want to encourage everyone to follow their inspiration, share their creativity, and participate, because I think in evidence of the turnout today, I think we struck gold.
Yeah, bravo, because you have something that's meaningful to all of us, that all of us want to participate in this discussion. So many times we've seen email interchanges that have a gem of a nugget of truth in there, mm-hmm. that we want to explore, mm-hmm. but the conversation ends with the last email and people, mm-hmm. go separate ways,
yeah.
instead of coming together to talk about the issue, and I think this is a wonderful, wonderful idea.
Well, I remember several years ago, Jerry sent a few of us, they were a top 10 list of best songs the last 3 years, best songs the last 10 years, best songs from each decade, best, staples, songs that you play every gig because you know they'll work. And, you know, that's music programming, I assume.
Yeah, music programming.
But,
see, when I hear music programming, I think like a preset playlist before you walk in the door, and I think, oh my God, what a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what you're referring to.
Well, no. Anybody? Well, first, how many of you use a computer for your gigs? How many of you have files, folders? Welcome to the world of programming. So now, because that just makes it easier for you, you're going to look at your whatever you have, whether it be cocktail. You're not going to put play that funky music in your cocktail file.
Probably not.
So when you go to your cocktail file, you're looking for something that's conducive with cocktail. And so, and that's how programming works for you. But then it goes deeper than that. And I want to share something with you guys that I've never told anybody. One of the things that I really wanted to do in life was program music inside of a grocery store. Because at first, I was like, oh wow, this is, you know, it's kind of cool. cool, the songs.
Mm-hmm.
And then now, like even in here, or if you go to the mall, I pay attention to the songs that are played, because some people don't know this, but they're actually being programmed from somebody who programs music.
Mm-hmm. Hard Rock Hotel.
Or payola.
Yeah. No, it's very, they spend a lot of money researching that.
Yeah. And so now some people like have it or feel it, and some people don't. I mean, it's just kind of one of those things. Like, for example, for a cocktail hour, I think somebody was talking about cocktail music and they said light, something light. Well, of course, because people are talking. So now what instruments are abrasive? You know, you, of course you have the drums, mm-hmm. and like, boom, that makes you want to dance, but you don't necessarily want to dance, you know, for the cocktail hour. And then maybe there are certain sounds that instruments will produce that will invoke a certain type. Like a good example is that one song that I said, that Frankenreiter. The reason I like it is because people don't know it, but it makes you feel a certain way. Now, programming that song in, and so even if I know, like, I'm gonna play that one song, I don't know what else I'm gonna play for cocktail hour, but I know I wanna get that in. I'm programming as I'm going. So I'm still reading the crowd, but I'm programming because I know that this is the feel and this is how I want it to flow. Everybody does things differently. So that's kind of the purpose of the forum, because, you know, I would throw out what I do, but see, what I do was kind of inspired by some of the older people that are here in town, and like some of them, like Barry. I mean, I remember when I was way young with dope gray hair doing a gig for him, and he was already established. So this is like even before I even got, you know, and Butch, I borrowed his equipment when I was like 20. I'm like, yo, can I use your equipment? I gotta do the gig. So that's how people that you would never expect, not that you wouldn't expect, but people tell you things, you take them and you use them to your benefit. You know, you use them, and then now at this point, you really can't tell somebody, this is how you be a good DJ. But what you can say is, if you feel your way around, and there's a lot of dynamics that go into it, into programming. You feel, you have to know what's hitting, you have to know that sound. Like, for example, that house sound is popular now, LMFAO. So now you know that sound. So you can almost incorporate something else that isn't, you know, that maybe people don't know, but it has that those same instruments. That's called programming. Now, if a DJ says that, you know what, I go in blind, you're either, you know, I don't know nothing, you're either like stupid, or you just want glutton for punishment.
You go in blind meaning what?
Blind meaning like, I have no idea what I'm gonna play, I'll figure it out when I get there. Because why would you do that to yourself? You know, why would you miss the opportunity to see what else is going on?
Sorry. Is there a Wi-Fi password?
It's not working.
So why would you put yourself in that situation where you can't, like, you know, see what else is going on?
Right.
Because you wanna, you know, like, okay, I'm thinking about this. Oh yeah, I'm gonna do this. And then you're missing stuff that's going on.
Exactly.
That's the whole purpose of programming, so you can have a successful show. And then if you need to take a breather meaning like the client, whether it be the parent of the 16-year-old birthday party or the bride and groom, they come up to you, they want to talk.
Hold on 1 second. Everyone look over there for the picture.
No.
Primo!
Okay.
Primo DJs.
1, 2, 3. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Those three. So, why would you, you know, if they're talking to you, what?
Back to you.
No, back to you.
If they're... if they're talking to you, now you have to have some type of something ready on the call. And I'll share something with you. Somebody broke into my car and took all my music.
Oh, God.
3 weeks ago. So I had a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday gig. They did it Sunday. So now I had no music.
Oh, my God.
I have my music, but it wasn't organized. So I had to go into this event to play music, you know, and now I had to, every song that I needed, I had to type it. So I had to know
what you wanted to play.
For.
Yeah.
Everybody should have to do it that way once in a while.
I'll keep you on your toes.
That comes with, you know, because I'm old. So, you know, some of that stuff is ingrained in my brain already. But, you know, you don't want to do that because it adds stress, because I knew that I got to think about that next song, you know, immediately and be ready, because there is no fallback. And that's the purpose of programming. So it's not just...
I'd like to ask you a question on everything.
Okay.
In your opinion, now in 2012, do you think it's still possible to establish a successful career in the entertainment business in mobile DJing?
Yeah, it's never too late. I mean,
can you be a success as a DJ in this year, starting now?
There was DJs before me, DJs before those DJs, you know.
And DJs after we're all dead.
Yeah.
Speak for yourself.
DJs will never go away.
Well, part of the, and you guys already know this too, but part of the process of becoming a successful DJ is, after you do a successful event, are you going to get another event from that? I mean, and how many are you going to get from that, and how many are you going to get from the ones after that, and then after that, and then after that, and after that? It's a succession. So it's building, it's a continuous building on each event that you do is successful. Then of course you should get another event from that. Do another successful event, you get another one, you get another one, get another one, and it keeps going. Right? Then you follow up, you know, you build a clientele to where you do certain things every year, like Jerry does. He does, you know, or probably most of you do. You know, you do something every year, same people, because they trust you.
Until the corporations run out of money.
Yeah, well, okay. So, you know, yeah, you can be successful, but it's just you building from each event that you do. That's it.
That's another thing I do. I do corporate stuff during the week. And since my niche is, like, programming music, there's a company in town that hires me to play music when they are trying to sell something. Usually they're trying to sell fitness. So they're either trying to sell fitness or something health related.
Not a lot of cocktail music during a fitness event.
Well, yeah, not a lot of cocktail music. You're right. You're absolutely right, because, but it's not what you would think. It isn't the high energy, you know, like boom, 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 boom to top 40 songs. Sometimes it's depending on, well, they give me a breakdown of the company. So like if I do Cricket, Cricket has 1,500 employees. There's 300 black people, you know, 500 white people. You know, they give me a breakdown like that. How many men, how many women? And so now I take that and I've created a playlist of probably about, I'd say 16 songs an hour, 32 songs. But any of those songs can be swapped out based on
the demographic of the group.
Yeah, based on what's going or who's walking to talk to that person. Because now my job, and it's very subtle, but it's powerful. My job is to stimulate them so that they're receptive to whatever the people are selling. And so that's another thing with programming. And when I do that, that's all programming. But it works.
What kind of songs would you play at the Cricket
meeting? For selling?
Yeah, like so they can creep up on each other.
First, First, yeah, that's actually a really good question. When people are, when they let people in, I don't want them to walk in anxious. So I want them to ease it. So now it's lighter. So it could be something definitely that they have to know. It's softer, but
he said Enigma.
Enigma?
One by Enigma.
Sadness. What sadness?
Maybe not sadness. I was thinking more like Jack Johnson. You know, because it has the guitars.
Oh, Blues Brothers, Run Around.
Yeah, would be. Oh, Blues Travelers.
Blues Travelers. Yeah.
Yeah, Blues Travelers.
That would be a song that, yeah, I would use. But it's a feel good. It's a happy song. It's kind of like, it's, you know, it's Counting Crows. Yeah. Oh. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's kind of like Mr. Jones. I wouldn't use that because it has that syncopated, like boom, 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 boom. And so I don't want people to think dance. You know, I want people, because it's supposed to be subtle. Not chill. I want them to be excited. So the music is fast, like Run Around, but not dance. So when you think of Run Around, you don't think of like, oh yeah, you know, I'm about to jam to this. You think of like, it's up tempo, and it's fun. Something that you would play, like if you were at like that park over there, you know,
party or something.
With that slip and slide, you know, something like that, you know, because you want it fun, but you don't want it danced. And I'm only talking about for cricket because there's adults, you know. So if it were kids, the music would be different.
So you would do this like in a cricket store, or help me when you. What is the environment in which you're doing this?
Well, it could be anywhere. Usually, they go into the facility. So, wherever the facility is, I mean, wherever cricket, whether Genoptics, L3, I mean, they're all corporate, you know, wherever they're corporate, because it's set up. It's supposed to be for morale.
In the office.
On their site.
On their site somewhere.
On their site.
It could be the office building outside, or office building in another room, or office building.
I did it for, and this was kind of close to my world. I actually did it for the zoo and the wild animal park, the staff there. Okay. So, and it's kind of funny because then now my two worlds were melded, you know.
Okay, correct. So when you said cricket, I was thinking, so you're thinking like a corporate event rather than a promotion in a store.
Right.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right. It's a corporate event. Yeah. Okay, right.
And so I do a lot of that. I mean, two times a week. And I just go around to different companies.
I do kind of what you do, but instead of corporate, mine's like kids. I have the jogathon. So I have it programmed, all my jogathon, upbeat, running music, exciting. I do have that lined up section right there for them to jog around.
Yeah.
Just play music, exciting, pump it up music.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I've done that for the cancer relay.
Oh, okay, you know, same thing, yeah.
Which one did you have?
Well done.
This is the well done.
Hamburger well done.
Well done.
Jalapeno.
With jalapeno? Anybody?
Or is that selling something?
Anyway, say you had a job for cricket, and you had to pick out three songs. Music programming.
Oh, that's interesting.
Karaoke, Mama's Combo
Good
Split.
Question.
I probably play
Is you Mama's?
Scene. Yeah, Mama's. Thank you.
And then the other
half over there. Thank you.
Wow.
That's why I'm here today to learn more about music programs.
That's split.
That's a split.
That's a split. Wow. It's our favorite thing here.
And you guys did it together. It would be together with all of
us. That's a lot.
How is that a split?
Medium well. It's the best.
Medium rare.
Yeah, we had it.
The medium rare one?
Yeah.
That's
pretty
so
good.
This one's definitely
not
yours.
Sorry,
it's
all mine.
Thank you.
It's really good.
It looks really good. I saw
got
that
the
too.
Steak and the chicken.
I didn't know it was that much.
Leftovers.
Piece of art.
Yeah, really. Cool.
But we come here like every other month, nuts. So.
Okay. June, right? Well, I haven't been here in a while.
Thank you. I think Jack Johnson only, he seems like a lot of love songs.
We got the veggie.
Veggie
over here.
Veggie.
Veggie.
I like Jack. Jack is happy, though. That's for sure.
I can name one.
Okay. Understood? Is that one of them?
No.
The jalapeno burger?
Good people.
A burger with jalapenos on it?
People. Yeah, good people would be the one, like, it's bluesy. It's not really...
I've never heard of that. Yeah, right
here. Is that a deep cut?
I got a song for you guys. I happen to find it. Maybe you know it. You remember Wright
and then
said
this cheeseburger.
Wright said Fred.
No. Cheeseburger.
Medium well. No pickle.
Right here.
Pickle.
Thank you.
You mean I'm too sexy?
Excuse me. This one's too sexy. Swiss cheese. Wright said Fred.
Yeah.
Remember that song? Remember that group?
Yeah.
I'm too sexy.
Sexy and I know it has replaced that.
It must be a B-side.
Jalapeno.
Don't stop, just kiss.
Has replaced.
Don't stop, just kiss.
No, stand up. Stand up. It has a crowd clapping, and it's just kind of a neat rah-rah stand up for the champion. That's what
that's called.
What's
the song by Wright Said Fred?
It's called Stand Up.
Oh, Stand Up.
Yeah, it's got a clapping, and it has, you know, speeds up a little bit, but Stand Up for the champion. It's kind of a cool song.
Thank you.
It might be.
You know, it's actually kind of cool to have those type of songs where they make you feel or you know that song when somebody says a sad story and it's like wah, wah, wah. You know that's actually a song. It's like called Flowers or something like that, and it goes in a file which I don't have anymore, but I'm recreating it, that has all of those songs that make you feel a certain way when you hear it.
So you're doing like subliminal stuff.
Exactly. It's all, you're exactly right. That's exactly what I do.
Mess with people's heads, Jerry.
You can become the Anthony Robbins of coaching.
So if they had a jump rope contest, like at a school, you'd play, jump, everybody jump.
Yeah.
Well, how many of you have, like say, jump a cocktail section for weddings? Don't you have something like kind of already a list?
Jump,
you have those love songs? Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like that, too. We're programming in that way also.
Yeah. Actually, in my planner, I actually have themes that I recommend for cocktails and dinner.
Oh, okay. I'm actually starting to get bored with my own cocktail music. I'm going to like
themes.
What I do
like
is I
got
draw
words for them in my planner.
Right,
like,
yeah, I'm just like
jazzy vintage Rat Pack, Sunset Chill.
Yeah, I've watched too much
rock and roll bluesy. Mambo Swinging Casino.
Okay.
You know, those are different themes.
Yeah, they're
like
all
that.
Different themes. Sometimes they even play on them, like my Rat Pack vintage jazzy. I've got like an old Hollywood twist on that.
That's funny because that's exactly what I play. Cocktail music, I just play all that.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I play all the themes.
Yeah.
And you just catch it, you know, so you're going to get somebody sooner.
Well, I do tell them, I say, I like the theme idea because when you go to Disneyland, you know, you have themes.
Yeah.
That are divided by property or land. And at a wedding, you can have themes divided by time.
Oh, yeah.
Spaces of time, such as cocktail and dinner. And I think that it's kind of like that experience where you bring them into one theme for an hour and 10 minutes. It's kind of like...
What do you mean by theme?
Like you could go like a jazz... If you're at El Cortez, you might go with a jazzy theme because it matches that. If you're at the Bally High, you might go with a beachy kind of theme.
Oh, okay. I see.
And then you bring people into that experience... And but then I like to change it for dinner because I don't want to burn it out because I've had enough of that. Kind of like when you're in Disneyland, I've had enough of Frontierland, and now I'm gonna go to New Orleans. You know.
What kind of music? What kind of music in your jazz? In your jazz thing?
Well, that's another thing too. We can go more deep, like Charlie Parker and Miles Davis, like 88.3, or we can go more recognized, like Sinatra, Dean Martin, Ella Fitzgerald. Just kind of depends on how deep they want to go.
Right.
You know, you could go modern jazz, you know, with like...
Can I ask you a question?
I did a wedding recently, and I played... I just played it because I was tired. Carlos, you know, Antonio Jobim.
Yeah.
And people were coming up to blues that.
Right, that's what happens, yeah.
Well, this is good. I like this.
It's funny, too. If,
what?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I thought you already knew, you know, but people don't know, you know, everything, you know.
If,
or maybe they heard it, but they didn't know who it was.
It's kind of like funny, you get people cooked up the right way. Like, I've come out of a modern jazz dinner. And, you know, I do like to pick up the BPMs or the strength of the music, and like you'll get people dancing to Herb Alpert Rise.
Yeah,
if you kind of like cook them for an hour of dinner, and now they're like feeling that vibe, and they're ready for some like late 70s kind of
I like that.
R&B grooves. And it was, you know, not like it's full dance where people are kind of moving around because they're ready to start moving on. But, you know, that was all set up because of things we did before.
I would have preferred a Spencer. Spencer, I don't know if you know, Spencer had Dr. Boogie or was Dr. Boogie.
Ma'am?
What? On a syndicated radio show, right?
92.5, right?
Yeah. Now, he would know about programming, you know, like, because now radio is different. Radio, they want you to do a different thing, correct?
Yeah.
So, you have free reign, but you still have to program in, correct?
Nothing, like nowadays, nothing's done in radio without a lot of thought going into it, because radio is such a touchy beast right now, because there's so many other options for people to listen to. So even when they play, like even in the mix shows, when it sounds like the DJ's dropping that brand new song that just came out, it's been sitting on the programmer's desk for a week. People sat in rooms talking about it for hours already. You know, it's like there's nothing's random anymore. And it's kind of that way. Even though Magic dealt in mostly old school and R&B, there's still a very determined list of stuff that we kind of had to pull from. And from within that list, there's still a programming formula. You know, there are certain songs, kind of like we were talking about earlier, there are certain songs that you know are going to work for a crowd. Same thing in radio. There's a group of songs that you know tested well the last time we did tests with our target listener and that kind of stuff. So it's really, there's a formula there, and getting away from the formula is not popular, to say the least.
And why do they keep repeating the same songs over and over and over again?
Brainwash you.
Because they have a very short list to pick from.
Because the kids, that's all the songs they want. The kids, they all want the same songs.
I thought he was talking about
that. I mean, I when I did the kids event, they kept requesting the song again, even though I already played it.
Right.
They were selling disembodied music with the 92.5.
Here's why all those songs are played that often. There's a lot of different variables. Have you ever seen the ratings for radio? There's things like TSL, which is time you've been listening. Like the old Howard Stern movie, if you ever watched that. All that stuff goes into it. So first you want to know, you know, every radio station has a target demographic. Who it is listening, if they're male or female, how old they are, all that kind of stuff. So it's easier to talk about what you're talking about with top 40 radio, because it's, you know, like Pitbull gets played every 25 minutes because the average listener listens for 20 minutes. So every 25 minutes, they've got a new batch of listeners. That's exactly, I mean, it's
so you get punished if you listen longer.
Right. Yeah, like so if you listen longer than the average person,
you get nauseated.
You're going to hear the same songs over. And there are different groups of songs that they play that they'll rotate. So Pitbull, you know, like the new Pitbull, in about 2 weeks, you're going to hear that every 20 minutes. And then there is also a group like Flo Rida Low.
I was just
going to
say that.
You're still going to hear. You're not going to hear it every 20 minutes because it's not as high of a rotation anymore. It's older. But you'll still hear it twice a day or, you know, whatever the equation says.
Isn't that called a rotation?
Yeah, the 20-minute rotation,
Heavy rotation, yeah.
Heavy rotation. Yeah, they play music from 2011 and 2012. The 92.5, they play music from 2019. And there are so many wonderful songs, and each are number one.
It's, that's all.
On 19.5, what is, they have like a maximum number of songs, like 100 songs from old school, or 50 or 200, is something like that?
Once a year.
They like to keep it kind of.
Yeah, it's about focused. 500 songs.
Yeah.
And about once every year, if we had the money, you know, whoever the owner was at the time, if we had the money, we would hire a company.
Test group with listening.
And it's literally like, Magic's listenership was 18 to 35 women, mostly ethnic. So that means Filipino, Mexican, Black, whatever. This company would gather, however they gathered them, you know, like 300 women. I think I ever saw a guy in that audience, but like us as the on-air people, we were allowed to be in the room, but we could never talk or say who we were. Like, we couldn't even talk because they could recognize your voice. And they literally, they fire songs to these people for like 4 hours. And it's like, it's the hook of every song. So you get like 6 seconds of a hook. And then they want like the sheet that they have in front of them is like, okay, number 300. Like it, love it, hate it, used to love it, now hate it because I've heard it too much. And that helps them figure out where all those things go. So the list that you're talking about, it's like 500 songs that tested the best. Anything that didn't test well, they don't care, it doesn't exist. Until it comes around and can test it again. So that's like where we as the on-air people, we're kind of like political lobbyists. We're like, hey, you've got to put this song in the next test. You've got to put it on because you can't play it until they say okay. Unless you get like really specific approval to play that song. And then when you do that, it's like they want to know when and why, or even play the whole thing. You know, that much
distribution. I remember when I was at the Flash doing one summer doing a mix thing, and they would say things like, too many of the same gender in a row. Like, as far as the voices in the songs, like, okay, that's like four guys in a row or three girls in a row, mix that up. And there was new, and there was semi-new, and there was classic.
I only get problems with that when I do teenage parties. Oh, you're playing too many girl songs. Are you serious? Girl songs.
You have a question, Perry. I guess everybody knows about Pandora.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Right? And you notice how it works, which you take a topic song or you think or whatever theme like you did, and you just keep building on it. And how do you think that they come up with the next song to play?
Feedback from everyone who's using it. I've actually used Pandora if I want to find out music that somebody that likes these three artists, they pick out three artists for Cocktail. What else are they gonna like? Plug those into Pandora, see what else Pandora brings up for you.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
And then the other thing is go on iTunes. iTunes does that kind of research too. Why? Because they want to make money. Exactly. Right. They want to sell you something else. Uh-huh. So they're taking this seriously. And then the third one is YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
If you type in like a rare, like minimal German techno track, and now all of a sudden, oh shit, look at all this other stuff. It's just like what I like.
And you automatically go to those tracks to see what they are. You're looking at one video, and you go, man, that's swinging. Over there. And you know that one,
that's kind of like, how you, like the way I used to learn about other tracks I like would be like seeing who the producer or the remixer was, and then I'd see what else they did. But now it's kind of done for you, and YouTube and iTunes, those are big players, they've definitely sunk the research into making this come out and making this come forward because they want to stay relevant and they want to sell music, and so like you can use that as a tool, you know, one of
your tools. And that's what I'm saying. Pandora is just kind of like, and that's why it's almost such, it's an option that, you know, that they choose over radio.
Yeah,
they're gonna get. There's gonna be a commercial in there slipped in there on you, sure. But it's gonna be way after.
It's like once every 20 minutes you get one commercial.
Yeah, all of a sudden so sometimes if you happen to be using it for DJing, sort of, you know, if you're using it,
like,
you know,
like
just
for
let
programming
it play.
And
yeah,
and
let it play.
Yeah,
you might get the commercial just pop up on you. You know, I don't know, but but it could happen. But it does. It's not that much that you get the commercials, but the thing of it is that they continuously play a good song after a good song.
Or even if you just want to kind of build your understanding of a certain genre, if you want to, you know, do that, you can just leave it going while you're working.
Exactly. And then you say, oh yeah, I remember that song, look at how cool it is. Another thing is everybody has an iPhone or something like that, and you know, you're walking around, you may be in the mall, in the restaurant or something, what song is that? What the heck?
Yeah, it's Shazam.
What's that?
Shazam,
yeah.
So it sounds like there's a lot of reasons to program.
It is.
There's just tons of reasons. Because you can't think of everything, you know, on a fly.
When I was in Florida, I learned that, I did a lot of events with Hard Rock Hotel, had a hotel on Universal property, and so I did a lot of events with Hard Rock. And,
can you guys hear down there?
I found out that they actually programmed their entire day of music in the hotel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the morning, it's really kind of like the Jack Johnson laid back, kind of soft sort of stuff. And throughout the day, that, I mean, it just ramps until the end.
Who else does that? When we were at the Mobile Beach show, I stayed. It was probably like 4 or 5 years back when we were down at the end of the strip.
Stardust?
No, it's at the very
Tropicana.
South Point.
They
have a rodeo. So after we had left, I thought, I'm gonna stick around one more day. The music that was playing switched. As soon as we left, it was like all like country. And I was like, now that's
rodeo convention.
You know, they're trying to relate.
They're appealing
to
their
people feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Because it says, I mean, you know, you were talking about music coming out of dinner or out of a cocktail or whatever. You know, I program my cocktail music and my dinner music to really kind of be, you know, it really kind of slow, mellow stuff at the beginning. And then by the end of dinner, when dessert's starting to be served, I'll come up to about 110 beats per minute. Mm-hmm. You know, about 110, 112, just kind of that. You know, where people just kind of start tapping and, you know, that sort of thing, so that they're ready and in that mood.
Because I don't want to have to wake them up to dance.
I learned that when I was at Universal with Hard Rock. Because that's exactly what they do during the day. So that, you know, in the evening after dinner, when people are ready, they're ready to go out and ready to kind of spend time on property. It sets that mood. It makes you feel that emotion.
Sort of glam.
You're programming them to, like, be ready to dance. Now they're getting ready. You're warming them up.
I have another question for the group. When somebody comes and asks you for a question or wants a request, is it normally male or female?
Female.
Yeah, mostly female.
Mostly female. Not exclusively, but mostly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Or the guy's asking for a female's request.
My girlfriend wants to hear it. Yeah.
So you know, so it's mostly females that come up and have requests. I found that
our kids.
I pretty much kind of. I think about the guys, but I think about women mostly when I'm programming music a lot.
Who dances more?
Exactly. No,
women.
Guys drink to music, women dance.
Yeah, exactly. Guys don't care. The guys can be standing against the wall and not dance one song and come up to you and say, man, you were great.
That's why I love the bridal party. That's why I love the bridal party dance, because it warms the guys up. They're out there already. They feel a little comfortable. So you build from that. So I call them my party starters, the bridal party, especially if they have a nice-sized bridal party.
To get the guys out there, once they're out there,
they're like, oh, it's not that big of a deal out here. They've been out here already. So I love doing bridal party dances for that reason.
There's three reasons guys dance. Alcohol, trying to impress a lady, or gay.
So Jerry, I know you said you're rebuilding your stuff, but would you be willing to share maybe 5-10 songs in each category of sort of things? If you want to play, you know, if you want to create this type of mood, these are the songs I would play. And if you want this type of mood, these are the things I would play.
Right, okay.
I
can do that.
You know what I mean?
So, if it's cocktail hour, but they want to be really trendy, I mean, you know the crossover stuff, you know, L-O-V-E, and that's for like just generic. I call that generic. But if you want someone that they're very trendy, and they want that club vibe, but you don't want to put it down like a club, then there's artists like Gotan Project.
Right.
That it isn't boom boom boom, but it is. It doesn't have like, you know, crazy beats, but it makes you feel like, hey, I'm swank.
That lounge, you know, it's lounge, the lounge kind of,
yeah,
the lounge.
Gotan Project.
Yeah, it's a lounge.
Gotan.
Very good wedding song.
Gotan Project?
And it talks about breaking up and...
Santa Maria?
Oh, I thought you said Gotan.
Yeah, I did.
Oh.
Gotan Project is the artist.
Yeah, it's mostly instrumental.
It's just like a whole genre of like deep kind of housey.
House lounge. Oh, yeah. House is what the lounge is.
A lot of air in the mix, not a lot of mids and high activity. Mm-hmm. And
there's a top 40 group that's out right now, and it sort of sounds like Gotan.
Gotan?
Yeah, Gotan, Hotel Costas.
Yeah, that whole series.
Yeah,
Cafe Del Mar.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, that music. That type of stuff will.
Saint Germain.
Jimmy Smith.
Yeah, Jimmy Smith, Saint Germain, yeah.
For the cocktail hour, I almost try not to do too much like that 16. Pop stuff like I Do by Colby Collet. So if I do that, I slip it in and get it out. That's programming, because you don't want to play two or three of those in a row, because now you're missing, even though it's a cool song that says Marry Me by Bruno Mars, you know those Marry You songs.
That's too slow for a cocktail. Marry
No, Marry Me by Bruno Mars.
Yeah,
that's
not Train.
Oh, okay.
Not Train.
Yeah. No, Bruno Mars.
But those, if you put like three in a row, now it starts to sound like it's all contemporary. Like everybody there is 24, you know, or young. So I like to break that up, program it so that, almost like a radio station, so that
you're addressing now, all the different ages and ethnicities.
Without making it sound.
So I have to go to the dentist.
Oh,
okay.
All right.
Nice to meet you.
Good seeing you.
I beg your pardon, everybody.
Okay.
Thank you for
stimulating
discussion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, take care, man. Don't let the train crash.
Yeah.
All
right. Where are you working there?
My list.
What?
Oceanside
Genentech.
The food.
This is off topic, and I know Alan Walker is usually the one to bring all the tech goodies, but if any of you do not take credit cards yet, and you have a smartphone or an iPhone, any kind of Android or iPhone, you can get that for free. You can get the program for free, and they'll charge you a flat 2.75% for anything you take in.
PayPal's making one, and Intuit has one.
I've been avoiding taking credit cards for a while, but kind of getting on the bandwagon.
I just got a call right now. Oh, can I pay you with the credit card? I'm like, well, you got to do it all online.
You know, I've never been to a concert where there was a DJ headlining, but I've seen a few of them on TV to where, you know, it looks like they're twirling a few buttons and faders, but it could be an act as well, or all that stuff is pre-programmed and they just let it rip. They add little flourishes.
You know, there's some guys that are really good though. I mean, there's
they have
a guy
to be out there.
Show that guy, he was pretty good. So, but then he wasn't doing like a set.
Are you? I'm sorry, Michael. Are you talking about programmed or pre-recorded?
You know, like was it Guetta or how do you say
David
it?
David Guetta, Tiesto, or anybody.
Yeah, Tiesto.
Those guys mix live, but they have sets.
Yeah, but I was wondering, you know, how much they do when they're on stage
versus being pre-programmed.
I think it's all
performance DJs are almost all pre-programmed right now.
Yeah.
I mean, pre-programmed, not pre-recorded.
When it comes in,
I mean, they're still doing it all live.
Yeah. So like they'll come into the show saying I'm going to play this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, and they'll mix them together and throw some effects in. But for the most part, all their stuff is set.
Like those guys specifically, because they've got their own music that they're pushing too. So Guetta's mixing all those new stuff.
I was watching YouTube and they showed that guy he was talking about, and they were comparing CD player, and one was on and one was off. One was plugged in, and he was going back.
Really?
Get a close up, and the lights wouldn't be on. Then they get a close up to one that was on, and then off.
And it was still like, oh, that's.
And he had a big giant crowd.
There you go, there's your answer.
Well, and he was getting a big check too, probably, so.
And he was smoking and drinking and laughing with his friends, and then he turned around with the music on.
You know the bad thing about programming though? If you program and you get so comfortable programming all your stuff, then you're gonna get comfortably numb because you're like, wow. Wild Cherry and Brick House, they go together great. Yeah. So I'm going to use these five songs for the next 12 years.
Every single show I do.
And a lot of DJs do that. And those are the ones that, you know, they're comfortably numb, but
they start fizzling out because they start sounding, and then once, you know, people are like, man, that guy's like, he plays the same crap. It's because, you know, okay.
But if you're a vocal DJ, it wouldn't matter, right? If it's going over well, because you're going to be in a different venue every time.
Well, for your creativity,
unless you have that bride that referred you to
your own
friend.
Soul, yeah. Doesn't matter. Well, like Barry said, it's good Barry. That you have to fly totally spontaneous once in a while.
I think there's something to be said about programming, going in with an idea of what you want to do, but I think I've always learned to program around the clock. That's just the way that I learn. Okay, whether I'm at a vocal show or whether I'm at a nightclub, I program around a clock. And what I tell my clients when I'm at a show and I'm doing that next part of the night is that I power mix three different kinds of music. Okay, so you're not constantly segregating 2/3 of your crowd. I mean, in the nightclubs, what is the job of the DJ to do?
Get them to drink.
The job of the DJ is to sell alcohol, okay? Before 1995, nobody knew that. We all just went into the clubs and we just thought that we were throwing the party of the year and didn't realize how much money we were making for owners behind the bar and how wasted we were making people, because we were so good at doing what we did that every 20, 23 minutes, like Jerry's talking about, we're constantly rotating the dance floor. We're bringing a new pack on and setting a new pack to the bar. So like Spencer was saying, I mean, radio programming is very much like when you go out and you do private event programming. You have an idea about what you want to play, but you still have to stay out of the box long enough to not get stapled into the same, this goes into this, and then you connect 112 to 115, and then stair step to 123 and drop back to 121. It's not rocket science what we do. It really isn't. It's about being able to read people and be able to take them on the journey that they want to go on, that you're providing for them.
Thank you.
I think.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right, too. It is a rocket science.
This is just starting.
In my opinion, it's...
A surgeon knows how to perform surgery. As entertainers and DJs, we better know how to do what it is that we do.
So reading the crowd is extremely important. You can't do an event without reading the crowd. But you gotta have a net, you know, a safety net.
You know, you talk about programming, you said program around the clock. One of the most valuable lessons I learned when I was a resident DJ at Universal is programming around that clock, but when you make those power changes at those times and rotate that dance floor, and I've carried it over to mobile events, I never do it on the half hours, right?
Yeah.
Because people will look at their clock, it's 10:30, okay, yeah, let's go. If you do it at 10:15, 10:20, they'll stick around. When you do it at the half hours, it's a good time for them to leave. So programming isn't just music.
No.
Programming is timing, too.
I couldn't agree with you more. It absolutely is timing.
Yeah, definitely.
We're conditioned beings, I guess, that respond to conditioning.
Please,
you've been stepping on my
phone.
Yeah, come on.
Hey, I did this gig, and I was doing some power programming and working my way up, and you know, they just got done dinner and stuff. They barely got in the room. They're done, 15 minutes maybe, and it was like, and then the girl who hired me, she's like, get them to dance.
Right. Like, here we go. Exactly.
And then she's like, put in the moto. And I'm like, the moto. Okay, the moto. So I get on the moto. She goes, get on the microphone and tell them to dance. I'm like, wow.
Oh, boy.
So I couldn't even use my power for it. I'm like, everybody get up and dance. She's like, she goes, how come they're not dancing? And I'm like, I got to work it out. And she's like, put on Rack City Chick. Rack City. And she's like, turn that one off. And I put Rack City. And she's like, they're not dancing, say it again. And I'm like, say it again. And I'm like,
yeah, my eyeballs are like, that's
classic.
It's like when you're dancing.
She's like, party rock anthem. I'm like, party rock anthem. So I put it on. She's like, cha-cha slide. I'm like, oh, I barely got into the party rock anthem. She's like, cha-cha slide. I'm like, cha-cha. And so like, I'm putting the cha-cha slide. She's like, what are you doing? I said, shots.
That's hilarious.
Dude, my hair was flat when I came in. By the time I got out, it was like this. It was like,
yeah.
Party Rock Anthem to Shots like four times because it worked, you know, and she just kept doing it, telling me to play it. And it was Moto, Rhapsody,
the same ones
because that's the one thing they would dance to.
Yeah.
And then she emails me 3 days later and says, can you ask Primo to make me a CD of all those songs?
Forget about the DJ next time.
So my question to you is, right? I just took the money and I said, I'm going, just whatever, give me the money and you program it. But what would you guys do? Would you question her? Would you say anything?
No,
risking the job.
I would do what you did.
Yam and I would have said something.
I would say something because I just did an event where I was struggling to get people out. They were just, right. It was hard to get them motivated. Finally got them out. They were full. The dance floor was packed. And the wedding coordinator comes up and she says, we're going to do the cake right now. I said, oh, the hell we are. I said, no, we're not. I said, the dance floor is packed. I'm not going to tell them to sit down so we can do cake. I said, no. I said, the hell we are. No, well, not yet.
He said it like that?
Yeah.
The hell we are?
I said, the hell we are. I was nice about it. I joked. I'm like, the hell we are. She goes, oh, okay. And she went away. Good. But, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I sometimes work with coordinators that really don't get a feel for the whole coordination thing.
Right.
And I end up in, like, little butting head struggles in trying to work out, okay, what's good for the whole party versus, you know, okay, well, yes, it's 10:23 right now. And you might have had, you know, the groom blowing his nose right now, but I got something else going.
But don't you think?
Like when you meet with your client, okay? Mm-hmm. Like when I meet with my clients, I tell them that I'm just a giant yes person. Basically, that's what we are. We come in and we do what they want them to do. Our experience based around it. So you put together an agenda with them based on what the bride and groom want.
And definitely. And the wedding coordinator comes in and changes that a week before the wedding.
I tell my bride and groom, I said, there is nobody that can walk up to me the day of the event other than the two of you or somebody that you touch.
Thank you.
To be your liaison with me to change what you want. That's why I take that extra time to fill that out and make sure and I tell them, please give this to all of your purveyors so that we're all on the same page come game day.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're all there to carry the timeline based on what they want. And I flat out tell my clients to say, you know what? If mom, if the caterer, if anybody walks up to me and wants to divert from what you want,
I tell them I want to hear it from them. But they turn over all their control over to this person, assuming that they know everything they should be done.
I fully agree, but they've hired this coordinator
and they think they know best.
Well, but the beneficial part I think in that is to have that conversation with the coordinator ahead of time. And to say, look, this is the schedule and the agenda. Look, and how I approach it is to say, I want to make sure my timeline matches yours. Because I just came from a meeting and we set this down. Let's match timelines and see what doesn't fit or what doesn't work and let's figure out how we make it work. So that even before I get to that event, I've communicated with, at very least, the wedding planner. But then I also bring that schedule and I hold a meeting before any guest arrives and have a meeting with the banquet manager and the photographer, the videographer, everybody. I'll say, and it says, when you hear this song, this is what's coming. When you hear this song, this is what's coming. So I basically will take that control in the absence of a wedding planner. But if there is a wedding planner, I'll visit with that wedding planner face to face 2 weeks ahead of time.
And what if they have, like, the one I worked with wanted a 2.5 hour cocktail hour, which I thought was just a wee bit long.
Oh, yeah.
Then you would make a suggestion.
And my conversation with that would be, so have you had that conversation with bride and groom? Yes. Okay. Well, you know, when we talk about it, we talk about this. And then it becomes this, you know, my experience based around the conversation of, you know, it's all about, and what I tell them is it's all about rhythm and flow. The entire event, because there's about, in the course of the day, from beginning to end, wedding, ceremony, preparation, all of that, there's about 50 touch points. And I have about 30 of those 50 touch points in the day, depending on if I'm doing ceremony and or wedding reception. And so what I say is, in those touch points, these are the ones that I'm needing to make memorable, you know, creating a memory. So let's talk about how we do that. The best way to do that is with rhythm and flow. And yeah, right. if we're having a 2.5 hour cocktail hour, your guests are going to kind of feel a little bit of a rhythm and flow issue. And so then it's, you know, going back and revisiting. I would even get the bride and groom and the wedding planner and I in the same room and in the same conversation.
You know what I would do?
Not only are they getting a DJ and somebody to, and an MC, but also they're getting a coordinator of their event. I find that that puts the clients at ease also, that they're getting two services really for the price of one, because that's really what we are. I don't care if you've got the little badge that says you're the banquet captain. Okay? I'm holding the Bible for what my clients want. And I mean, that's really...
Well, what I tell my clients is, you know, we come up with an itinerary, and I tell them, you know, I'll make sure everything happens. You don't need to worry about any of the details. I'll make sure everything that's supposed to happen happens. I said, you know, if it's time for the toast and the caterer isn't pouring champagne, I'll go over and talk to the caterer. You don't need to worry about anything. I said, but real life rarely follows an itinerary to the T. I said, so this is a guideline. I'm not going to come rip the fork out of your mouth if it's, you know, 6:30 and we're supposed to be doing the first dance. But sometimes, you know, I do have issues when they hire a wedding coordinator later and our vision of the event differs, and I like your idea.
Well, yeah, because the important thing that I like to stress with that, and you raised a good point, is, you know, it all goes back to programming. It's not only
it's not
is my
the
job
music,
to program
it's
music,
the
it's to program the flow of the day,
yep.
Right? Okay, so yes, we will have those must-set times, the time that dinner gets served,
right.
The times that guests arrive, and the times that we're finished,
yep.
Okay? But, and those are the ones that are in bold on my planner that are set times. Everything else does not have a time.
Yeah.
How many of you guys
make
a timeline with your bride beforehand and show her, look, this is a timeline that works great. How many of you guys do that ahead of time?
I do.
You have to.
Okay.
Yeah. Because you only have a certain amount of time. You're hired from this time to this time. Right.
Right? And it gets, because they have no clue. And then that way they give it to the coordinator, and then the coordinator works together,
Yes. Works
it out. And then if they, all of a sudden they put 2 hours on it, then you raise a question to the bride. You say, you know what? Most reception, 99% of the time, are only 1 hour. And you just leave it up to her. Let her know, you know, that's how it goes. And then she's the one that tells the coordinator, okay, look, I want to change it to 1 hour. It seems to work for me that way.
Everything is based on what? The food and how these when they serve it? And how long it takes for the people to eat it, right? And then in between that time, just drinking before they serve the food. And then usually after the food is done and eaten, then whatever else happens is what you guys got to, you know, what everybody else has got to do. You know, whatever, if it's first dance, second dance, whatever, you know.
And another thing, the photographers, sometimes they get a photographer and they want to take over an hour,
right?
Over a cocktail hour. So I always like to know right up front, you have a professional photographer. You know, they don't let them take you over an hour of time, you know, because then they're taking way too long.
I have my iPad going around. That's all my go-tos from all like different categories. So just different like Irish go-tos. It's odd stuff. You might not find like Mobile Beats top 200.
So since we only have a few more minutes, does anyone have any anything less regarding music programming?
That's a good question right there.
Join your group.
You know, our person who knows all that stuff is out of the country for this.
That would be Eric.
That sucks for you guys.
You're going to have to come visit us again.
We can get back to you.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you have your card?
I guess so.
Yeah, Barry, I want your card, too.
So, I need...
I thought mine was good.
You have a card, too?
I have one idea I wanted to share. It came up kind of by accident in one of the events I was doing recently. I had, you know, sometimes you have a little kid that thinks what you do is so cool and they won't leave your side. And that's very cute, but they can kind of get in the way. So I had a little flower girl at one of the last events I did. And I said, I gave her a job. I said, go to every table and come back with a request, one request from each table. It kept her busy. But it helped me, because all those people that wouldn't have come up and requested a song, requested it through her, and I locked into the feel of the group, and I just thought, that's a great idea, I'm going to do that again.
There you go. Did you say you wanted a card?
Yeah. She did.
Did you say you wanted a card?
And I asked her to get a request, not what they want to hear, but what they would dance to.
You have another one?
I'm not interested in what they want to hear.
Cool.